Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I want to start out tonight by just thanking Pastor for his heart that he had the vision to open up and give opportunity to myself and to Dwayne and to Faith and give us opportunity to teach and talk to you about what's on our hearts as the Lord has led us. And I don't know about you, but this series on the heart has been rich. It's been rich for me. And, the person who teaches hears the word. And it's just done a lot for my spirit man on the inside. And of course, studying the word of God is of utmost importance. We've talked about that. This series has been called Matters of the Heart. It's a heart-to-heart discussion between the Holy Spirit and us. The heart, we said, is the seat of the emotions, the character, the intellect, and the will. The heart reflects where our affections lie. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And we said that the greatest commandment, and Jesus enforced this, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. And so what we've done over a course of 4 weeks is we built upon precept, looked at the Word of God. And I'm not going to go back over the previous weeks. If you didn't get a chance to be a part of any of those, you need to just get a hold of the tape or go online because there's just a lot of scripture. Incidentally, I haven't repeated any scriptures week after week. So I've probably already given you 100 scriptures or more. And tonight, we've got a lot of scriptures. So I hope you've got your Bibles. Because we're going to be using them. Some scriptures I'll just read to you, and other scriptures I'll tell you to turn to, just for the sake of time, because I thought it would be a short ending, but it's not. And so it's going to be rich. But anyway, I just wanted to start off by telling you that. Now, last week, if you weren't here last week, I just want you to know that last week was the week that it's unusual, I know, but last week was the week that I covered about hearts that were not circumcised. I talked about those kind of things. And so it was a contrast to the teachings that I did the first 3 weeks, where we built precept upon precept, showing what it's like to be in the Lord and have a heart towards God, about the circumcision of the heart and having a heart that's one with God, having a whole heart, being unified in our hearts. And you don't need to turn to this, but in Psalm 51:17 it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A trained spirit and a remorseful heart God will not consider worthless or unusable."
Amen.
Think about what I just said. A trained spirit. When he says a broken spirit, he's just talking about a trained spirit is all he's talking about in that context. It's like a horse. I think I've heard this from Pastor talking about it before. It's like a horse that's unruly, you know, hasn't been broken in. And so it needs to go through a training process, and it needs to be broken in its spirit so that it can be trained properly, so that it'll do the things that you expect out of it. And that's what it's really talking about here, a trained spirit. Proverbs 28:14 says, "Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." There's something about being reverent towards God, learning how to understand about his holiness and coming into his presence with a pure heart. And that's part of what we've been talking about and training towards, and teaching you is how to have a pure heart. How to come before God in the right way with the right kind of a heart. In Proverbs 24:17-18, it says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." So I interjected that into this because I wanted you to hear that about don't be glad in your heart when your enemy stumbles. Now, let the Lord take care of things. Always remember that if you harbor things in your heart, it'll hinder your walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. We need to have love guiding us. Yeah. We need to remind ourselves that even our command from the Lord is to love our enemies. Mm-hmm. Love your enemies. That's what the command was from the Lord. So, let's turn over to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. We're going to read 8 verses there. Psalm 112. Man, I hear this like angels' wings hearing those pages turn. Okay, Psalm 112. We'll start at verse 1 and we'll read 1 through 8. And, you know, I want to say this to you here before we start reading, is that some of the scriptures that I've read in the past or that I'm reading to you tonight, we're reading a lot of context, so to speak, and you can get a lot of other things out of it besides just the matter of the heart. But there's a reason for that. Sometimes I feel like it's not, you know, there's reasons why God says certain things, but you have to read the context in order to get the gist of the whole thing. So that's why I make us read other verses as well. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. This is a man who trusts in the Lord. It's a righteous person. Are you a righteous person?
Yes.
You trust in the Lord? And that's what this says. It says that your heart is steadfast. If you're a righteous person, your heart is steadfast. You trust in the Lord. Your heart is established in God. Look at Psalm 7. Flip over to Psalm 7 for a minute. Let's read that. Psalm 7. Psalm 7, 8 through 10. The Lord will judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. Are you upright in your heart? Yes, if you're spending time with the Lord, you are. If you've got His Word dwelling richly inside of you, you have an upright heart. Or you should be. You should be spending quality time with the Lord. You know, the things that get in and pull your heart away from the Lord are when you're not spending time with Him, when you start spending too much time in other places. Let's look over at Exodus chapter 35 for a minute. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. Let's look at 20. Let's read 20 through. This is about stirred and willing hearts. So let's look at verses 20 through 29. Yeah, 22 through 29. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold. That is, every man made an offering of gold to the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. And everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set on the ephod and in the breastplate and spices and light and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord. All men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. Now, if you read further, you'll read where God actually put it in the hearts of certain people to, you know, act a certain way in wisdom and whatever in the craft that they were doing. But these particular scriptures speak about the fact that the people themselves had a willing heart. The people themselves were stirred to do the work. They were stirred in their hearts. They were willing people. And these type of hearts, willing hearts and stirred hearts, are the kind of hearts that God uses to build his kingdom.
Yes.
Amen.
And that's why I had us read those scriptures, because you need to see that. Because I think this is one of the things that God has put in me to talk to the church about, is how do we, what is our part in the building of the kingdom of God? And this is one of the things that's very important, is having a stirred and a willing heart towards God. Now, this isn't something, you know, this comes out of a heart that's devoted to Christ, that spends time with the Lord, that waits upon the Lord. Look over at Ezra. Let's look at chapter 7 of Ezra. Chapter 7 of Ezra, and let's look at verses 9 and 10. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Now, what happened here? What happened here? The good hand of God was upon Ezra. Why? Because Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do the law of the Lord, and to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. So if you want the good hand of the Lord to be upon you, okay, you need to prepare your heart. And the way you do that is you seek the law of the Lord, you seek to do it and to teach it. And that's one of the things that's, that I find to be very interesting. It's not just something that happened with Ezra. I think this is a principle in the Word of God that's true for any of us believers. That if we spend time with the Lord, we'll have the good hand of the Lord upon us to do these things. Okay, let's look at another scripture here, another principle. Look at Psalm, well, you don't have to look at this. I'll read this one to you. This is out of Psalm 45:1 says, "My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." Think about that for a minute. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. How does that happen? That happens from spending a lot of quality time in the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, so that the Word is nigh you, even in your heart and in your mouth. It's real close to, you know, real close, so that you can, on a moment's notice, you can be ready in season and out of season to give an account, to proclaim the good news and to teach others concerning God and His kingdom. That's what that's talking about, having a good thing, to be able to at a moment's notice, to be able to have your mouth will be like ready, like a pen, ready to give it out. Psalm 57:7 says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and I will give praise." A steadfast heart makes melody unto the Lord and it gives God praise. A steadfast heart. Now, I'm going to hit on several different areas here, and I want you to think about these things. They're the ingredients that come about from spending time in God's presence. Having a steadfast heart. Having a steadfast heart. You know, I don't know. Maybe sometimes when I pray, you know, corporately, you know, I ask God to give us a steadfast heart. But truthfully, it has a lot to do with how much time you spend in God's presence, having a steadfast heart. Psalm 84:2 says, "My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." This is the You think about what he's saying here. He's got a deep, deep desire to get close to God and to be in his presence. I want to read that to you again. "And is this your heart's cry? My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You know, there's something about coming into His presence, being in His presence. There's something about that. And the more you're in His presence, the more you want to be in His presence. Let's look over at Psalm 33 for a minute. Psalm 33. Let's look at verse 18. We're going to read 18 through 22. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You. Verse 21 says, for our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Should be a rejoicing, should be a joy on the inside when you trust in the name of the Lord. When you hope in Him, when you put your belief, your trust system in Him, when you lean on the Lord, should have a joy on the inside. Why? Because there's a confidence that you know that He's able to do that which He says He can do. He'll perform. He'll do the things that He says He'll do. You know, it's not, sometimes the brothers and the sisters and the Lord, myself included, sometimes we think that we have to do certain things. No, all we have to do is trust in the Lord. That's all we have to do. That's all He asks of us. Believe with all your heart. Trust in Him. Psalm 105:3 says, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Your heart should be rejoicing in the Lord. If you seek Him, take glory in His holy name. You know, when I think of this scripture, I think of how much we need to be aware almost on a daily basis, really a daily basis, of how majestic and glorious He is. He's surrounded with glory, like a cloak. He's got glory all around Him.
Amen.
Glory in His presence. There's glory in His presence. And He has a holy name. And the name of Jesus has been a name that's above all names. Amen. Above all names.
Yes.
Let's look at Ephesians 5 through 9. You know, sometimes we get, you know, I don't know, I struggle with this myself. Sometimes we get too flippant about the name of Jesus. Yeah. We don't, you know, sometimes we just forget. We need to be reminded that there's power in the name of Jesus. The demons, you know, they're in fear when they hear the name of Jesus because they know who He is. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Here I am talking. I'm not looking it up myself. Ephesians chapter 5. Okay. Ephesians 5. And we're going to look at verse... that don't work. I'll tell you what. Let me just read this to you. Ephesians 5, verse 9 says, do the will of God from the heart. Well, let's look at that. Turn over there. Ephesians 5, 9. Sometimes I'm not, you know, that's... Let's look at it anyway. Where are we? Ephesians 5. Is it the wrong scripture?
Yes, sir. Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth.
Okay, well, Well, let me just explain to you what I was... I probably wrote it down wrong then from when I copied it out of some notes. But if we do the will of God from the heart, we need to do it with sincerity of heart, with fear and trembling. There needs to be a sincerity in our hearts when we do the work of God. When we need to do it, you know, we need to think about what is the will of God, and then we need to do it out of a sincerity in our hearts because we're willing to do it and we want to do it. We have that relationship that says we love God. And that's how we prove to God that we love Him, is by wanting to do the things and sincerely doing the things. Is it 6? Okay. It's Ephesians 6. Okay, let's look at it real quick then. Ephesians 6. Okay. Thank you, brother. And is it, let's see. Yeah, and I guess what I wanted us to do then was read 5 through 9. So let's read it anyway. It says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And that's where I want to, well, we'll read the last one. And you masters do the same things to them, giving them up threatening, knowing that your own master also in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. But here we see that we need to have sincerity in our hearts, and we need to serve God with fear and with trembling. Let's look over at Colossians for a minute. Flip over to Colossians. Let's look at Colossians at chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. And let's look at verses 22 through 24. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an important word to us. To obey with sincerity of heart, fearing God, doing all things heartily as unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look over at Mark for a minute. Look at Mark chapter 11. A lot of ingredients in here to making a pure heart. A lot of ingredients. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24. This is Jesus talking. He says, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." We need to remove doubt from our hearts and replace it with faith in God. And really, faith in God is nothing more than trusting Him and believing that His Word is absolute. What He says will happen, because He watches over His Word to perform it. And remember, I'll remind you again, His Word is alive. His Word is active. Sometimes we need to think about that, really think about that. It's alive. It's not dormant, it's alive. The Word of God is alive. And it will do what he's sent it forth to do. Okay, but that's an important ingredient, taking doubt out of your heart. Do not waver. No wavering. Let's look at Psalm 69 for a minute. Flip over to Psalm 69. Boy, I tell you, if nothing else, you're getting good in practice on flipping pages, right? Hallelujah. But we got intent, though. We have intent. Yeah. Psalms. Well, you ought to, brother. By now, Psalm 16. You know, I'll tell you something on that note. I don't know how many of you know this already, but you know, Billy Graham has made the remark that most of his adult life, almost every day of his life, he reads something out of the Psalms. I mean, he reads other things in the Word of God too, but he reads out of the Psalms almost every day of his life. And you know, the other thing, while I'm on the subject of Billy Graham, you know, one of the comments he's made is that if he had to live his life all over again, he said the one thing that he would do differently, he'd spend more time in prayer. And here's a man of prayer. And that's what he said. Okay, let's look at Psalm 69, look at verses 29 through 33. "But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull, which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and you who seek God, your heart shall live. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners." Now, I read all of that because I want you to see that he's really talking about his people. When he says the last verse, he says his prisoners. Okay, he's not talking about the worldly people. He's talking about his people. And he says, you who seek God, your heart shall live. We're going to have an eternal life with him. But why? Because he says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Our lives should reflect his salvation. Our lives should reflect his salvation. You know, there should be not just a praise on our lips, but a thanksgiving in our heart because of what He's done for us, because He saved our souls. And you know, salvation's an ongoing thing in the sense that He's delivered us and set us free, and He's able to keep us free.
Amen.
And, you know, if you walk in the truth of His Word, you walk in freedom. You walk in a life of God, a supernatural life of God, because God imparts wisdom and understanding, and He just gives us what we need for this life and the life to come.
Amen.
So let's look at Romans chapter 6. Turn over to the Romans chapter 6. Some of you are saying, Brother Rick, why didn't you just get these scriptures in order? Well, this is just the way that I felt like it needed to be put together. So just go with the flow. Romans 6, and let's look at verses 17 to 18. Yeah, 17 to 18. It says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness, obedient from the heart to the teaching of Scripture, following the truth that comes from correct biblical doctrine." Think about that. Somebody, you know, you need to think about what I'm saying here, because there are some people who teach heresy, don't teach correct biblical doctrine. And so there's something to be said about being obedient from the heart to the teaching of Scriptures and following after the truth that comes from correct biblical doctrine. Doctrine that comes from the truth of God's Word. You know, a lot of times we think about, you know, we believe the Word of God. We talk about, you know, we read the Word of God. We try to understand the Word of God. But listen to me. A lot of the New Testament is about doctrinal teaching. It's put together as the Holy Spirit inspired men. It's doctrine. And it's there for reproof and correction and instruction in the ways of righteousness.
Yes.
That's what the Word of God says about it. But it's correct doctrine that you need to be familiar with. Incorrect, if you're familiar with correct biblical teaching, you'll recognize incorrect teaching. You'll be able to discern it and deal with it. Okay. All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 1 for a minute. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 15 through 21. 15 through 21. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened," or we could say the eyes of your heart being enlightened, "that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Those are powerful scriptures, brothers and sisters. I mean, you'd be well to look at those privately and spend some time in them, because those are powerful scriptures right there. Powerful scriptures. And, you know, here, you know, we see that there's eyes on, there should be eyes of your understanding. And that speaks of the fact that there should be a looking with the heart. And, you know, it says that it's enlightened. Well, what is enlightenment? It's divine spiritual illumination. It's where the Holy Spirit turns on the light. Turns on the light. You know, many of us we say, you know, and you're probably in the same boat here, you know, is that how many times have you read over scriptures and you just didn't see it a certain way until all of a sudden the Spirit put a light on it and it was like something clicked in your spirit and you said, man, that's tremendous. You know, we call them nuggets from the Word of God. Yep. Divine revelations from heaven, however you want to look at it, but it's illumination. Yes. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God. He brings to your mind those things that God has decreed in heaven. You know, think about this for a second. I'm getting off a little bit, but think about this for a second. Where is Jesus? Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. What does the Scriptures tell us about Jesus? Jesus is making intercession before us, before the Father. But when Jesus asks the Father for certain things and the Father ordains it to be so, the Holy Spirit carries it out. The Holy Spirit carries it out. And that's what His job was. He came here, he has a number of things to do, but one of the things is that he manifests the Word of God as it's been decreed from heaven. He manifests that to us so that we have the power of God in our lives to be able to do the works of Christ in the earth and to overcome every works of the enemy. And that's all about. I get off just a little bit, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. You're right there, so go over to Ephesians chapter 5 for a minute. Look at 15 through 21. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give me thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wow, those are powerful too. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, there's nothing greater than it. You know, I just during the middle of the day, all of a sudden, I get a song and start singing to the Lord and, you know, bubbling it up, man, just coming out, you know. I tell you, there's just something about that, you know. Something about that relationship with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is just tremendous. Just a gentleman. He deals in a quiet way with us. But I really believe that the Holy Spirit just knows when he needs to trigger inside of us. Amen. Those kind of things, you know, to keep us mindful of the fact. It's part of what I call having a God awareness. Mm-hmm. It's really part of the God awareness. Look over at Hebrews for a minute. Hebrews. I'm giving you a lot of stuff here, brothers and sisters. Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at verses 16 through 25. You came for a feast today, didn't you? Amen. You had a feast tonight. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 25. This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Yes. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And here we have it, folks. We have being cleansed by His blood and washed by the Word of God. Yes. Cleansed by His blood and washed by the Word of God. And that's what that's all about. And that's what keeps us going. And that's what we need to remind one another about, is that we need to spend time immersed in the Word of God so we can be washed daily, get the dirt off of us, be clean again, be cleaned by the Word of God, be renewed in the faith and increase in our faith through the hearing of the Word of God. Look over at 1 John. 1 John. First John chapter 3. Help me, Lord. We got a lot to do here. 1 John chapter 3. 16 through 23. This is how love works. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. There's the keeping and the doing. The keeping and the doing. Okay? And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. He didn't give us a suggestion. He gave us a commandment in that area. Okay? And so I want us to see this, that in it says that our conscience towards God, loving in deed and in truth, we have to think about how our consciences are towards God. We need to keep a clear conscience towards God. We need to do this. That's why when the choices come, the temptations come, make the right choice. Do the right thing, because for the sake of your conscience, so that your conscience is clean before God, so that when you go before him, you can go before him with a clear conscience. Loving in deed and in truth. Confidence towards God comes from a heart that is right before Jesus. You get great confidence when you know that you're doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. When you're not messing around, you're not doing the things you shouldn't be doing, there comes great confidence and boldness and assurance in your heart. When you're doing the right things, when you're living a righteous life. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, you don't have to turn to it, says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. I'm going to say that again. Listen close to what it says. The purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Sincerity is important. Need to be sincere. Why? Because before I started this whole thing, remember one of the first things, and I've said this probably from the pulpit before, is that God looks at the intent in your heart. He's concerned about what your motive is. That's what he's concerned about. That's why I said to you last week, Pastor went here, but last week when we got ready to do the tithes and the offerings, I said, that's the focus, is what is your heart doing here? It's not enough to just say, I'm giving the tenth. God's interested. God doesn't really need your money. He needs your heart. He's interested in what the motive is in your heart. That's what he's most concerned about. And that's the thing that you have to be most concerned about, is how to keep your heart right before him. Okay. 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. We need to love one another with a pure heart. We need to love one another. Because what did Jesus say was the second greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? So that's the command. Okay, let's look over at 2 Timothy for a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And then he goes on to say, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then it says, and it goes on and gives us more instructions. But we see here that servants of the Lord call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So if you say that you're a servant of the Lord, You should have a pure heart. And how do you have a pure heart? We spent 4 weeks going over that. So think about all the ingredients that it takes. But a lot of it comes from spending that time with the Lord.
Yes.
The intimacy with God. That's how we get a pure heart. Letting his word dwell richly in us. It's the abiding presence. The abiding presence. If my words abide in you and you abide in my word, you can ask whatever you will and it'll be done by my Father who is in heaven. It's an abiding presence. The abiding presence. Putting the word in so that the word's there. Okay. In Colossians, let's look at that for a minute. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and let's look at 12 through 17. Let's look at 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all of it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God rule in your hearts. Listen, why did Jesus spend so much time talking about being anxious for nothing? Learning how to get rid of the anxiety. Learning how to not worry. Learning how to not fear. We need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Look over Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Just turn back. It's very close to where you're at. Verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. God's peace guards our hearts and our minds. God's peace protects the mind from external corrupting influences and keeps the mind focused on God's truth. I'm going to read that once more to you now. God's peace protects the mind from external corrupting influences and keeps the mind focused on God's truth. Proverbs 15:30 says, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. Okay. Ezekiel 3, you don't have to turn there. Ezekiel 3, chapter 3, 10 through 11 says, Ezekiel received God's word into his heart so that he might proclaim to the people what God said. And that's really, you know, that's what happened with Ezekiel, but that's what should be true for us. We need to receive God's word into our hearts so that we might proclaim to other people God's what God says. How can you give something to someone that you don't know anything about, that you don't have any knowledge of, that you can't relate to? And really, if you haven't been obedient to do the word of God, you really don't understand it because you haven't been there, haven't done that. And that's really a lot of what the Holy Spirit tries to do. If the Spirit of the Lord sees that the intent in your heart is to follow in the way of the Lord, then when you study the Word of God, He'll give you opportunity to practice the Word of God. I guarantee it. Guaranteed. In John chapter 7, this is in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. He says, "He who believes in me," Jesus says, "as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That talks about your innermost being. Out of your innermost being, if you believe in Christ, and you in your heart shall come out rivers of living water. It's what you put down in you, the relationship that you have with Jesus. Acts 4:32 says, "Those who believed were of one heart and one soul." That means they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were all speaking the word of God with boldness. All things, it says in the scripture verses, all things were held in common. They were all filled, speaking the word of God with boldness. Why? Because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Acts 11:23 says, "With purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord," in the early church. And really, for those of us that really love the Lord, that really are interested in doing the work of the Lord, this is one of the things that we do. We purpose in our heart to cleave unto the Lord, forsaking all others. Because it's a marriage relationship. And what does the marriage scriptures teach? Forsaking all others, cleaving to one another. And that's what we do in the Lord. We cleave to Christ. Psalm 27:13 says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." It is important to believe, listen to what I'm going to say here, it is important to believe that you will see God work in the church. Why? Because if you don't see any of the power of God working in the church, you're going to lose heart. You're going to say, like Pastor has said, if we play in church, we might as well go out there and go fishing. So this scripture is important because it says that we would lose heart if we don't see the goodness of the Lord. And I'll tell you frankly, folks, you know, that's one of the big things with me is I like to tell people that God's a good God. Amen. He's filled with goodness. Amen. His goodness and mercy is everlasting. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 23 through 26 says, "Prophecy in the church will reveal secrets of the heart." Now, we haven't seen, you may not see that on a weekly basis, but this is what the Spirit reveals things. And so when prophecy is in operation and as one of the gifts in the body of Christ, it will reveal secrets of the heart. Now, it may be revealed privately to the pastor or to whoever's ministering, and that's how, and it's done that way sometimes so that they can be effective in the way that they minister. It gives the minister understanding, whether it be a man or a woman, okay, so that they can be effective in the way that they approach for the particular need. But it also can be specifically prophecy, a message, prophecy to the church. And there are ministers that are used this way. There are prophets who are used this way. They'll call things out. They'll read your mail. And that's because the Spirit searches the hearts. John 14, 1 through 4. Let's look at that for a minute. Turn over to the book of John. We're getting close to the end. The Lord's helping me with this. John 14, 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, this is the Lord speaking here. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's houses are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know." Now, in verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, the reason I'm reading this scripture to you is because, brothers and sisters, we have a promise of life in heaven with Jesus. And we don't need to be troubled in our hearts about, what's going to happen to us, because we've got promises from the Lord himself. He's preparing a place for us. We don't have to be fearful about dying. We don't have to. Our hearts can be stayed upon the Lord. We can trust in Him. We can know that our God is an eternal God. Amen. That the life in Christ is an eternal life. We don't have death. It has no hold over us, just like it had no hold over Christ. We're spiritually alive in Christ. We're never going to die. Never, ever, ever, ever. There's no grip on us for that. I like to dwell on that kind of stuff because, listen, I like to remind the church, and you're the church. I like to remind myself and you that the Lord's going to come back. And even if He doesn't right now while we're alive, I mean, we're going to go on to be with Him. We got a life in the Lord, and it goes beyond this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Look, in Psalm 101, verse 26, it says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Have you got a resolute on the inside that you're going to walk within your house with a perfect heart? The only way that that can happen is that you not only need to be sincere and willing, but you need to spend the time. You know, the Holy Spirit will not force us to do the things that we need to do. Obedience, God says, I would be obedience more than sacrifice. The two most difficult things for a human being to do are to be obedient and disciplined. Why? Because we got to deal with the flesh. We got to deal with that unruly nature, that spirit of disobedience that's in the world, that influences even Christian people. You know, we're in a process of change, right? Being sanctified by the Word of God, being changed by the Spirit, having God, as it were, circumcise our hearts almost on a daily basis, changing us to be more like Jesus, helping, calling us out of the worldly system into a kingdom of His dear Son, causing us to be effective ministers of the gospel of peace, learning to love God with all our hearts and all our mind and all our soul. David, who had a heart that God just really loved, he wasn't a perfect man. He made mistakes. He did some things that just weren't right. But you know what? He got it right before God. He got back down on his knees and he asked God for forgiveness. And he prayed in Psalm 51, verse 10. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, so that I might teach transgressors thy ways and sinners might be converted unto thee. So what was he doing? What was he doing? He was not only trying to get his heart right before God, get his heart clean before God, but he had motive that showed that his interest was the same interest as God's. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things should be added unto you. See, God's not interested just in, you know, you being a good person. He's interested in you wanting to do His will. He's interested in what his purposes and His plans are. And so we need to line up with that, but we need to ask God to create in us a clean heart. And Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Is that your prayer? Do you pray that? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And the last thing I want to say to you tonight before we close is out of Psalm 27, verse 14. Here it is, church. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say wait, upon the Lord. We need to be strengthened by the Lord. And the only way that's possible is we need to learn how to wait upon the Lord. There's never going to be a substitute for your personal devotional time before God. It's nice and it's tremendous that you understand about how important it is to go to church, how important it is to sit under a ministry, how important it is to be joined to a vision. And it's all of that's great. But God wants to have a personal one-on-one. He wants our hearts. He wants us to have a pure heart. And remember the scripture that says, blessed are those, the pure in heart, for what's going to happen? They're going to see God. And I don't know about you, but I want to see God. I want to see God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for the word that's been given to us, Lord, through the scriptures. Lord, I believe that your Holy Spirit will enlighten the mind of our understanding with these truths and help us to be more like Christ, so that we might love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength, O God. Father, I thank you that you circumcise our hearts. Hallelujah. Lord, that you unite our hearts to Christ. You strengthen our hearts. Father, I thank you, Father God, that you give us a heart that pines after you, a heart filled with the love of the Father, a heart filled with compassion for those that are without, oh God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father God, for you're activating the word inside of us so that we be doers of the word and not hearers only. That we have a heartfelt relationship with God. That we do the things that we are asked to do because we love God. And because our hearts need to be right before you, Lord, we purpose in our hearts to follow after you. We want to have a willing heart. We want to have a heart that that says, yes, Jesus, come and use me. Make your abode with me. Let your spirit lead me and guide me. Give me opportunity to share with others the goodness of God and to talk about your greatness and your holiness. Hallelujah. To proclaim the good word of the Lord, to give an account in season and out of season. Hallelujah. God, change our hearts. Make our hearts more like you. Hallelujah. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and a steadfast spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to be able to be people who reach down deep inside and understand that our prayers need to be heartfelt prayers. The intent of our heart is always before the eyes of the Lord. The Lord searches our hearts. The Lord knows our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing, oh God. Father, I praise you. I thank you, Father. You're a wonderful God. Oh, majestic in all your ways are you, O Lord. Hallelujah. And I'll say to the church, if your heart is right before God and you're spending time with him, you'll want to praise him. You want to be in his presence. You want to know his power. You want to know the goodness of God. You want to see the mighty hand of the Lord at work. You want to see lives changed. You want to be a part of that. You want to be joined to the Lord, one with him. Just as Jesus prayed, Father, I'm one with you, and I pray that they would be one with me and one with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'll remind you, church, that it's in that we can't say that we love God if we don't love our fellow man. It's in loving one another that we show the love of God, that we show that we genuinely care. And it's in keeping his commandments. It's in keeping his commandments that all these things work together. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the commandments, but to fulfill the law, to fulfill the law. And so the commandments and the testimonies, they're all important. And we need to keep them. And we will keep them if we walk in righteousness and we activate love in our lives. We allow the Spirit to lead us and guide us. And we walk in the Spirit and we don't walk after the flesh. Lord, increase our faith, I pray. Hallelujah. Lord, I just bless you and I thank you for what you're doing in us and through us, Lord. We pray in the church, O God, that you, Jesus, will be manifested in all his glory. Hallelujah. To do in us what he's commissioned us to do. Father, that we be used for your glory and for your honor with power and authority, that we will have confidence in our hearts that thou art with us, O God. And if you are with us, who can be against us? O God, I thank you, Father God, that the Spirit of the living God is alive and the Spirit of the living God is activating the Word of God on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, the things that you've taught us, Spirit of the living God, give us opportunity to practice, to put into practice these things, to meditate on these things, to hide them in our hearts, so that we will not sin against you, O God, but that we will love you and we will care about the things you care about. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.